Welcome back to another episode of Have You Not Heard? I am Angel H. Davis. I am your host, and this is a podcast that brings hope and healing to a hurting world through sound psychology and biblical truth. Today, we're going to talk about what God is stirring in our midst. A lot of people say there's revival going on, that revival is stirring in individual hearts and in groups of people. And my good friend and pastor, Carolyn Moore, is with us today, and she's going to just talk about some of her recent experiences. So without further ado, here is Carolyn. All right. Well, Carolyn, I am so excited to have you back, and thank you for taking time. You have so much to share. What God is doing. So jump on in.
Oh man, this is revival. You know, we sit around. I'm not even ever really understood praying for revival because I think because I'm a church planter, right? So I'm not thinking we're ready to be revived yet. We just got started. But kind of that old style, especially in my tribe, you know, old style Methodism prayer is, Lord, we pray for revival. But I think I get it. I think I get that word revival really means a restirring or a renewal, restirring, stir up the coals, Lord, heat the fire back up. And so, you can sit around the fire and it's the same, it's a good fire and it's a new fire. It's a one night fire. This is not, a days long fire. But at some point you have to stir up the coals to get the flames back going. And that, I think, is what we're seeing happen in these pockets. They're just sort of popping up. And I'm just going to start with Cuba. Is that right?
Yeah, go for it.
Cuba's been in the Cuba Methodist Church has been in revival now for about 20 years. It started about 20 years ago, but it's been escalating in recent years. Methodism was introduced to Cuba in the late 1800s, like 1870, 80, something like that. So it's been there for 150 years almost. But and in the first, up until about 20 years ago, in that first 100 or so, 120 years, about 100 churches were planted. In the I'm just talking about Methodism. Maybe I'll just step back and say this, that most of Cuba, their religion is an African folk religion called Santeria. So think animism. Catholicism is the favored daughter among Christian faiths in Cuba, so much like Haiti, the African folk religion and Catholicism can get mixed up together, and it can kind of become perverted. No fault on Catholicism's part; it just happens, And so, so that's kind of where Cuba is. Some Catholicism, mostly Santeria. And then there's these little sprinkles of non-denominational churches and other kinds of churches. And there's about 100 Methodist churches until about 20 years ago. And in the last 20 years, it's jumped from 100 churches to 550 churches.
Wow.
And then another 300 missions that are becoming churches. So the escalation is accelerating. I guess I'll say it that way. And when you walk into a typical Cuban Methodist Church, you are walking into charismatic Methodism. It is spirit-filled Methodism. It is beautiful. The worship is joyful. It's excellent, which I love. It's just exuberant, and there is no fear of all of the things that we find in Luke chapter 9, when Jesus sent out the 12 and gave them power and authority to cast out demons and cure all diseases and proclaim the kingdom and heal the sick. Zero fear around any of that. So we saw, while we were there, I mean, I saw the most radical exorcism I've ever seen. I've seen people delivered of demons, but in my ministry world, delivery from demons tends to be rather understated, I think. this was not understatement. This mm-hmm. was a true exorcism. Mm. And nobody in the room batted an eye. They were, they were on it. They were praying against it. And Jesus did an amazing delivery in that session. So Cuba is going through a real Cuba Methodism. And I don't want to place a tribe on it. I just want to say that happens to be the tribe right. that's experiencing this radical growth. But I just want to say Christianity, Orthodoxy, in Protestant Orthodoxy in Cuba is going through a radical stirring of the coals. And isn't mm-hmm. that a beautiful thing?
Mm-hmm. Amazing. And, you know, I feel like the Lord's given me this vision of a lot of little lights all over the world.
Yes.
And at some point they're going to boom, all come together. So that just kind of makes me think of the stirring and the rekindling and the fueling the coals and uh-huh. all of that. So you were there to do what? What were you there doing?
We were there to encourage pastors. It was okay. a group of pastors who went. My husband was with me. There was one other lay person. The rest of us were pastors. And we were just there to encourage the pastors because pastors, churches are starting and they start as missions. Mm-hmm. And so these pastors are getting paid. I mean, not even paid.
Right.
their income every month is around $20. $20 wow. a month. And I don't even understand the economy in this communist country. Mm-hmm. I do not understand the economy. But on $20 a month, I know this, that these pastors are making a decision not to work in government-sponsored industries where they can make more money. Mm-hmm. Cuba's interesting as a country. It doesn't fit the typical Caribbean poverty because Cuba has taken its money. The government, it is a communist country that singles it out, or I guess not singles it out, but distinguishes it from countries like Haiti or even India or other places where the poverty is pretty extreme. The government's communist, and they've taken their money and they have sunk it into healthcare and education. So the people of Cuba are well educated, and their healthcare system is well developed. They have a good healthcare system, but communism as an economic system just doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And so everybody's poor, and you know, getting food is difficult. But even the culture there doesn't really embrace all of communism. The black market is just out in the middle of the road. It's, you know, it's like, it's not really black. It's very gray.
Right.
People know where they're getting their food from. They're not getting it from government stores. They're going on the black market. And when stores can sell things, everybody, the lines queue up and they're long and you have to wait a long time to get anything. There's no luxury, but just to get the basics, you have to do that. So into that culture, people are choosing to become pastors and to plant churches and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, even when it means that they and their families will suffer. Wow. And so we talked to this one guy. He had about 100 people showing up at what was really just a slab of concrete. You can't build buildings in Cuba without government sanctions. So you can't build buildings, but they found a slab of concrete. If you have a slab of concrete, you can build walls up on it.
Okay.
If you have walls, you can build a roof. Mm-hmm. You just can't pour slabs and you can't start new buildings. So isn't that crazy? So this,
right.
So this church was worshiping with no walls and no roof on a slab of concrete, about 100 people. And this pastor was young, was living in one room. And by one room, I mean the bathroom, the kitchen, the bedroom, the living room. They were just one room with his young family. And his church was growing. And he felt called to plant in this neighborhood that was particularly impoverished. And so we went to places like him and we just asked, all right, what will it take for you to get walls? What would it take for you to get a roof? Let's take this back, take the need back and see what we can do. And then we just blessed pastors. We blessed about 100 pastors so that they can make ends meet for another month and keep sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we preached in their churches and call people, you know, to a place of encouragement, just encouraged whole churches that were living this out. And it was just really very, it was moving. It was exciting.
Mm-hmm.
It was joyful. Mm-hmm. And it was really nice to be among people who, there were no whiners there. There were just people who were committed to the gospel of Jesus Christ.
I love it. You know, it's making me think of the book of Acts and the church and the excitement just in your voice, knowing you all these years and just hearing the renewed passion and the excitement. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, like anybody else, I'm trying to figure out how in the world, why did you sign up for this? And how am I going to carve out time for this? Oh, once I got there, it was like, oh, thank you, Jesus, for, you know, these are mature followers. Because like I said, they're educated. These are mature followers of Jesus who understand exactly what they're doing. They're able to make systems that work, and they are building the Church of Jesus Christ in Cuba. And so as you're praying for Cuba, here's something to pray for. Because we asked pastors, we said, what is, you know, what would make a beautiful Cuba for you? And they said, a beautiful Cuba is a free Cuba.
Wow.
And so pray for freedom, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for the proliferation of the gospel. Mm-hmm. Pray that the systems that are being developed, especially among Methodists where the revival is happening most strongly, pray that those systems would be free from corruption, and pray that they would be free from unholy dependency too, because it's really, I think, tempting to go down there, spread some blessing around and feel good about yourself and leave people with a dependency.
Right.
And so, you know, these are not people who are asking for that. We need to, as Americans, figure out how we can best support pastors and established works without creating unholy dependencies. And so those are my prayers for Cuba.
I love that. I love that. And boy, sounds like things we can learn here stateside also. Because they are doing real church, so to speak, like the Book of Acts.
Right.
And they are giving their lives away for it, literally. Right. And that's such a great example that you shared.
Yeah.
And how inspiring that is to see what God can do. Now, I want to just touch back on the deliverance thing, because I know some people, it'll freak them out and all of that. And so, you know, some people don't believe that happens today and all of that. Yeah. So could you just normalize the supernatural for a minute for some folks that may need to hear that?
Yeah, let me just begin by saying I was raised in a mainline denomination that would never have talked about deliverance in corporate or private. So I get it. I didn't come at this from somebody who was steeped in it from, you know, childhood or anything like that. In fact, when I started this church, I still wasn't there. Mm-hmm. I certainly believed in the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I wanted to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, but my experience was limited and really began. I think the journey began with you, Angel, when you and I began to practice healing prayer together.
Mm-hmm.
That just really gave us the opportunity to both of us to experience how God can in a moment change a person's spiritual reality.
Mm-hmm.
So over the years, I've become more and more comfortable swimming in those waters. Several years ago, I became enamored of Luke 9:1-2. Mm-hmm. That's the place in Luke 9 where Jesus passes the anointing on to his followers. Mm-hmm. And then in Luke 10, when they bring back 72 people who have been healed, saved, and delivered, Jesus extends the pool to include them. And so you get the sense that this is a widening circle, and that's what I believe I stand in. I believe I stand in this widening circle of supernatural ministry that Jesus gave us power and authority to walk in. Mm-hmm. He said, Luke 9:1-2, and when he called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to cast out all demons and to cure disease, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom and heal the sick. I believe that's the commission that we still live under today.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the sermon I preached that night that the exorcism happened. I was at a large church, and I had been praying because, you know, there's a tendency when the foreigner shows up when the invitation is offered, everybody comes. Everybody just wants to be prayed over by the quote unquote foreigner.
Right.
And I've been praying against that. I have been praying that God would send forward only those who genuinely needed to be healed, saved, or delivered.
Mm.
And so I phrased that invitation that way. I said, I did not want everybody to come forward. I I'm first, I just ask, first of all, who in here needs to be delivered of a demon? Mm-hmm. And this one woman stood up. She walked down the aisle and she said, "It's me. It's me." Mm. Almost like what you'd read in the New Testament when the, you know, he would say, "Tell me your name." Mm-hmm. You know, like they could they couldn't be silent mm-hmm. when Jesus spoke. Mm-hmm. It was almost like the demons knew they couldn't hide themselves in that room.
Because they are subject to Christ.
Right. And this woman walked forward and I have not seen anything like this before, but she was pretty quickly fell to the ground. I was on the stage. So others began to come around her. A couple of guys came around her and a couple of women. And she pretty quickly fell to the ground. I've never seen a body move that way, but it moved. It had the movement of a snake, mm-hmm. and not like a natural way that a body can move.
Right.
And then she began to vomit. Mm-hmm. It took probably 15 minutes of solid prayer for her to be delivered. There was clearly more than one demon. Mm. And, when it was over with, the look of peace on her face was remarkable. Mm. And I was down there by her when it was over with. We just watched her. It was just beautiful. Mm. And when I laid a hand, I'm not even sure I touched her, but when I went to just pray blessing over her, mm-hmm. and when I went to lay my hand on her head, she just fell over. Mm. She just rested in Jesus.
Amen.
And that's something I've never seen before.
Right. Right. And don't you love it that we continue to get surprised by God? And yet it's not unbiblical. It's in the Bible. So right. We're just experiencing more of who he is and what he right. can do. And I do love that he gets us ready for these kind of things, because yes. there would have been a time when you run out the door if that kind of stuff starts happening.
Yeah. I even preached it. I preached
it.
Yeah.
Right. But
if it, I was still sort of like, whoa. What
yeah.
Here?
Yeah. Right. So and just to, I'm imagining, so I don't want to assume, but when you said the body of Christ came, like there was other people praying for her and yes. so it's a community kind of thing.
Oh, we really stepped back. I mean, there were a couple of people in our team who were well versed in deliverance uh-huh. ministry, because we had pastors on our team,
right?
So well versed in deliverance ministry, but their church, their people were very aware of what was going
right.
on, and were around her, and they actually had me praying for other people. That was to them.
I love it.
To
I
them,
love it.
This was just a thing happened in the room, not the
yeah,
thing happened.
Another day in the life of
right
walking in freedom.
Right.
And they do, because, and I know I've been in other countries where the darkness is so much darker. I mean, people yeah. that don't understand the U.S. our darkness is pretty light compared to other darknesses yeah. spiritually. Yeah. But anyway, they've been dealing with that for a while. Well, that's amazing. And thank you for just fleshing that out.
Yeah.
So to go from revival in Cuba to revival in Asbury in the United States, you want to talk about that some?
This is, I resonate so deeply with what you said a few minutes ago about just this praying for little pools of light to show mm-hmm. up, you know, until mm-hmm. all over the or little sparks of fire to show up mm-hmm. until all of a sudden they start to gain momentum and they start to join together, and next thing you know, you've got this one big blazing fire. And I sense that that's what's happening. And crazy, I mean, I sense it's happening in our tribe right now. Mm-hmm. And so Asbury Seminary and Asbury University are historically Methodist. So their theology is Wesleyan, but they don't belong to a denomination.
Okay.
Salvation Army, a lot of Salvation Army folks are trained up at Asbury, and Free Methodists trained up at Asbury, Wesleyans trained up at Asbury, lots of different, you know, kind of sub tribes under the Methodist stream are raised up there. The seminary is where pastors are trained, and the university is an undergraduate liberal arts college.
Okay.
And the university last Wednesday, they have chapel 4 days a week, Monday through Thursday, mm-hmm. at 10 a.m. or 11 a.m. I can't remember what time it is. I've spoken there twice, done a couple of weeks there. It's just beautiful. They require their students to be there, but their students are very, they pay attention. They're in love with Jesus. I have seen invitations bring great moves in that student body before. This is not that. What happened last Wednesday was a typical, and I'm just reporting what I've heard and read, and I've heard and read a lot on this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it was a typical chapel service, not even anything amazing. It was just, you know, wanting to see Christ go to the nations. And some people lingered and continued to worship as the service ended. And everybody went off to class. Most people did, but some people stayed and just continued to worship. And as they worshiped, the worship began to warm up. Mm. And people began to hear, like, there were guest students were texting other students, you need to come back in here. Something's happening. Like, we're having a really great time of worship here. And then it kept going. By the middle of the afternoon, the professors were calling off classes. Students were streaming back into the chapel. The chapel seats about 1,500 people, and it's packed when all the students are in there.
Mm-hmm.
And by that night, it was packed. And it has not let up yet. This is now a full week later. Mm-hmm. And it's not only not let up, but Little Wilmore, Kentucky, it has one traffic light. Nope, it has two traffic lights. One subway. And that's it. That's the only restaurant in town. No, there's a Chinese restaurant too. I'm having to remember.
Well, they're doing great business this week, unless everybody's fasting.
And people are streaming in mm-hmm. from all over, not just Methodist. Louis Giglio is there. John Tyson is there. People who chase revivals. Mm-hmm. The media has shown up. Fox mm-hmm. News is doing a story. They have moved from. They were until about 2 days ago, 3 days ago, I guess, maybe 2 days ago. It was all being contained in Hughes Auditorium, which is the Asbury University Chapel. But then they opened up, and the overflow at the seminary across the street, that filled up. Then they opened up a second chapel at the seminary, that filled up. Mm. And then they opened up a fourth chapel, a smaller chapel at the seminary, that's filled up. And now they're just out in the streets.
Mm.
And it is. Here's what I believe.
Okay.
About this revival, I was ready to go, and the Lord just has continued to say, "Wait, just wait, just wait." Mm-hmm. I don't know what I'm waiting for, but I sent three of my staff people.
Uh-huh.
I'm doing children's ministry tonight, so my children's pastor can be there.
Uh-huh.
Because I want them to catch it. I think three things are happening.
Okay.
First, this is a movement of college students and young adults.
Yes.
This is the majority of this is college students and young adults. And there was no rock star preacher who kicked it off.
Amen.
It was started by some students who hung around and just began to catch the wind of the Spirit at the tail end of this of a regular chapel service.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing I want to notice. I want to notice that young people, a young generation is catching hold of the fire of the Holy Spirit in an Orthodox setting. That's the first thing I want to notice. The second thing is, I believe that this is a revival I have been watching for years. I have said becoming revival is theological, and I believe mm-hmm. that's what this is. This revival is as theological as it is anything.
Mm.
God has chosen this place on purpose. Now, there have been other revivals at Asbury. There's mm-hmm. been, was one in 1970. There's one in 2000, a small kind of version of this in 2005. There's revivals there. The holiness movement was birthed on that exact same real estate.
Mm.
In the early 1900s, the holiness movement was birthed there. And so I believe that God is calling us back to holiness, and he's making a statement in his intentional choice of real estate. He's saying, do you remember what started? You remember why this campus was even started? It was to say that we are a holy people. We are to be holy because he is. And so there's that. And then the third thing I want to acknowledge is just, I believe that this is a revival of worship. That's what's kind of held this revival. The one that happened in 1970 was very session. That was the real spark that took hold there. And there's been, I've heard tons and tons of stories about confession in the last 7 days, people coming forward and confessing sins. But I think that just kind of goes with healing. Right. But worship over the number one word I've heard to describe the spirit in the place is gentle. That the gentle, loving, sweet presence of the Holy Spirit as people have worshiped. And those who follow revivals have dipped in. Pete Bellini has been there. He went on Monday. And others who follow revival movements, who've written on revival movements, have gotten there and they've said, yep, this is one of those. And Lee University in Tennessee, some of their students went up there. They came home and they began to worship. And they have had now several days of worship happening on their campus. So I believe February 23rd is National Collegiate Day of Prayer.
Wow.
And I believe that on February 23rd, college campuses across this country, Christian campuses across this country, and Christian ministries on secular campuses across, even as I say this, I the Holy Spirit is all over this moment. The Holy Spirit is going to do a work.
So He's we will pray a- into that. Yeah. Yes. Wow. Yes. I did not know that. That's exciting.
Yes.
I love it. Love it.
Yes.
And so we can be praying into these three things that you talked about.
Yeah.
The other prayer I've heard, and maybe you can speak to this, is that it not get hijacked, you know, that it not become hype, it not, you know, because of all the media attention and all the big names coming, that it can remain pure, that God would protect it.
Right. And of course, whenever there's something like, you know, that gets media attention, people who are who I don't even understand what kind of perversion makes a person do it, but the crazies have started to show up, and and there are some people standing out on the streets you know, with their little signs saying that everybody's gonna go to hell. Pray against the crazies, and pray that they'll be caught up in the wind of the spirit while they're there. I mean, nobody needs it. Nobody needs it more than them.
There you go.
And also pray, you know, a huge prayer is for the people who are serving this call, the leaders at the university. They were not prepared for this.
Right.
They didn't, you know, suddenly all have all the toilet paper they needed. And that happens. You get a whole bunch more people than you were expecting, and toilets get stopped up. And
just the, you know, practicals.
Two little restaurants, they're overwhelmed, and you know, things have to be cleaned up from day to day. And the people who are, you know, the worship teams and the student leaders, they have to be fed. And I've heard such beautiful, beautiful things, like the food just keeps showing up. Wow. You know, people just deliver 50 pizzas, and they just. And houses all over into Lexington. Wilmore's about 20 minutes outside of Lexington, Kentucky. And so people are opening up their homes for guests to come and stay with them. And I don't even know how those are being linked up together, but two of my three staff people are staying in a home that they've never met those people before, but the home's been opened for them. And so
Gosh, that almost brings me more to tears than everything else, because again, that's the live church being the church,
right?
You know, so it's not just about the hype and the worship. And I love it. And to me, I love that this is a gentle thing, because our world has been so bombarded with noise and with all this stuff going on. And
right,
just in that, it's healing. you know, right. a healing property. Right. But we know God's doing so much more than that. But golly.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. This really almost does feel like the first century church in that, you know, you have that, you know, sense of the Mary, Joseph and Jesus going to be, you know, going to to Jerusalem, going to the temple to do the festival, and everybody stays in everybody's houses, you know,
and everybody does what's needed to be done. Nobody's trying to be a superstar. That's amazing.
Right.
Wow. Well, maybe you can jump back on after your people come back and we'll keep updated on this. But
yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Any last word before you pray us out that you want to share?
You know, we've been experiencing, and it's we had this, I just want to say this as a testimony that I'm a real planner. And the Holy Spirit works great with me on planning. That's just how I kind of work. And so I usually have planned out my whole year in terms of sermon series and things like that way before the year starts. And I'm always flexible and those things change, but it's a comfort to me to know a direction that we're going in. I'm always listening for the word that what God wants to give me for the year, that kind of thing. So it comes from the Spirit, but God just works with me as a planner in that way. But this year I couldn't do it. I could not do it. I knew the word, and the word was freedom.
Okay. Oh, wow.
But I couldn't plan the year out until it was probably the end of December when the Lord just showed me just one series, and it's the one we're in right now, and it's on the art of worship.
Wow.
That's as far as he took me. The art of worship. And so we at Mosaic have been just letting ourselves flow in the river of worship. We've been trying to change things up, trying to let ourselves be more free, let ourselves just move. And so here's what I believe. I believe that, you know, I long to be, Asbury's my spiritual home. I long to be there where that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But what I know is that long-term, the spark needs to happen where we are.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And so what are you changing up right now in order to make room for the Holy Spirit to move in your life, in the life of your small group, in the life of in your home? Where are you digging a deeper well? Looking, you know, maybe you had water in that well before and that well has dried up. Well, that's what I think the Lord keeps doing at Asbury. He just keeps digging a little deeper. No, the well's not dried up. Just that layer isn't flowing with water anymore. We just dig a little deeper and look, there's more water in the same well.
That's a great analogy. So, I love that.
So you don't have to go someplace else to get water.
Right.
Just dig a little deeper in your own well, in your own church, in your own small group, in your own house, in your own life. Dig a little deeper, friends. Dig a little deeper, because Jesus is doing a new thing this year. We are coming out of the darkness of pandemic life and into the light of renewal or revival or coal stirring or whatever you want to call it. We're coming into that. And it's coming as a theological revival, a sharpening of our convictions, our non-negotiables, and also as an act of worship. So Lord Jesus, my prayer is that you would pour over everyone who's listening a thirst that is matched by a willingness to dig deeper for new water. I believe, God, that this is a day for a new wine and new wineskin, and that maybe right now they're in the same place. They're being offered to us at the same time, new wine and new wineskin. And so, Lord, do a work. Do a work. What's happening in Cuba, please, Lord, in my house, in my church. What's happening at Asbury, please, Lord, in my house, in my church, and my life. And for everyone who is listening, I extend that prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Carolyn. Love
what
it.
Joy.
Okay. Thanks for your time and your passion.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate the chance to talk about it.
Well, you guys, I hope you are inspired to really dig deep in God's word and to run hard after Jesus.
Because remember, as the darkness increases, the light increases even more, and light always expels the dark in the natural and in the spiritual world. So let's all get on board and keep running. You know, I know there's controversy about whether this is revival or not revival. How about we don't worry about that? How about we just chase after God and what He's doing, and let's be part of it and be part of the solution to bringing hope and healing to a hurting world. If you enjoy Carolyn and you want more of her, she was on episode number 9 way back, and when I began the podcast, in episode 91. But I hope you share this with a friend, and I hope that you are encouraged and will share the good news with other people. Till next time, God bless.